and welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. Great to be with you. Martin Barr is an iconic guitarist, musician, having played with the legendary Jethro Tull Band for many, many years. He's now coming to the States to play the Tull Classics with his own band, and his new album, Back to Steel, will be released later this year. Martin, such a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks for coming on America Weekend.
Hi, Valerie. It's a pleasure for me as well. Thank you.
You have spent, is it true, 43 years with Jethro Tull, is that correct?
50 years as a musician, professionally. 43 of those years with Jethro Tull. They're big numbers.
That is an amazingly long run. And it sounds to me, having read a little bit about you and navigating your website, that you've had a terrific time.
Yeah, you know, it's a lifetime, and I think, you know, at my stage of life, I sort of reflect on what the alternatives would have been, and I mean, probably they're pretty awful, but I just wondered if I hadn't have been a musician, what my life would be like now. And but you know, I had a fantastic number of years and all very exciting, but it's quite awesome, I hate that word, to think that you've dedicated that chunk of time in one direction. It's amazing. But I've had a fantastic experience.
So as you look back, and I know that oftentimes one does that, looking back over their lives, as you just mentioned, can you identify perhaps a time or an incident that was the most interesting or exciting part for you?
You know, I think that the early days were the most exciting because it was all so new, and it just seemed that music in, if we go back to maybe the mid-60s in the UK, it was a very, very exciting time to be a musician. There was everything that happened was brand new. You know, it was, everything was groundbreaking because nothing had been done before. It was not all of it was good, but it was all so fresh. It was just a wonderful time to be emerging as a musician because you could do pretty well anything and everything that came to your mind. And so each stage of my life as a musician held something new as an experience for me. So whether it was in moving up to London, playing the sort of famous London clubs that Hendrix and John Mayall and all those people played, playing at the Cavern in Liverpool, and then sort of going into Europe, then coming over to America, playing the big clubs in America, playing the stadiums in America. It was, everything was new as it happened. It was a very exciting time. I was very lucky to be a musician in that era.
Absolutely. And as you go back to the early days, can you tell me how you fell into this field? How did you drive yourself to become a musician? What were the influences for you?
I always loved music, and I think I was a bit of a misfit at school. You know, although I probably could have been quite academic, I just never wanted to be. I just didn't really get on with the people that were sort of very clever, were sort of very dedicated to study. I just found them a bit boring, and I was sort of always looking for something a bit different. I didn't know what it was until I saw a band play and figured that's really looked like an amazing thing to do. And at that point, I bought a guitar and started to learn to play it. And it was a hobby, but really it brought me out of myself. And I so much enjoyed that part of life, and the sort of academic side fell by the wayside until music sort of slowly but surely took over. But it wasn't a sensible choice. I didn't do it because I was able to do it, because I literally had no money at all for a long, long time. I turned my back on probably a very good career and all the sort of sensible decisions you make in life, none of them were made by me. But I was lucky, you know, the circumstance was right for me, the opportunity came at the right time, and it fell into place. It's very unusual for all those things to happen.
That's true. It is unusual, and it happened for you. You're a very talented musician, a guitarist, obviously have staying power, and now you're coming to the States after, and you'll be abroad as well. So you have a very rigorous schedule, Martin Barr, coming up of performance. How do you keep your energy? What do you do to continue to play at such a level?
Yeah. I just hire really young musicians, and they do it for me.
No, you're there. Joking. You're there. I know you're there.
I'm being listened to. I don't know. You know, I'm thankful that I can. And, you know, I don't ask too many questions these days. You know, if I wake up in the morning and I go straight, cup of coffee straight in the studio, but then everything's working good. As long as my ears and sort of physically and mentally I'm able to do it, I just love doing it. And it keeps me young, and I work with young people, young musicians, and there's no difference, you know. There isn't any difference in the way we think, in the way we approach music, in the way we work, our energy levels. I don't know. It's there, and you know, other people are an inspiration to me because you know, there's people around us in their 70s and 80s, and they're incredibly fit people, and they've got very sharp minds. It's possible to do, but I think if you've got something that drives you, mm-hmm. it will keep you young, and certainly music is a really great medicine to keep your mind and your body sharp and in good condition.
I think that's absolutely true. I think that when you have a passion for something, it continues to drive you, and it gives you a tremendous purpose. And your purpose is coming to the States in a little while. Yeah. What will this tour be like? Tell me what we can expect.
We have a really high energy show, and when Toll finished, it sort of, you know, almost came to shuddered to a painful stop, you know, like a car running out of petrol, and you know, the tank was sort of getting empty, that there was no inspiration, no energy, no regeneration, no passion there. So my instinct, what I really wanted to do, was to bring all that back into a band and sort of just get back on stage, play lots of really intense, powerful, and energetic music. And that's what I think that we've accomplished. We everything we do, we look at it in a new light. So even when we're taking some of the old Toll material, we've more or less rewritten some of it. And we just sort of changed it to make it fresher and more powerful, and then hand in hand with that, with the Toll material we do, I'm writing songs back to steel. I mean, it's actually been out for 4 months in Europe, so we play a lot of that album live, and it works really well. And then we do sort of a few blues rock standards that we've sort of reconstruct them to make them more Martin Barr like, mm-hmm. and I don't know what that means, but I just, music to me has to be, I like it to be really complex, but I want it to sound simple, so people have immediately, are able to access it and understand it and enjoy it, but there's a depth to it that doesn't, you know, it doesn't make it hard work to listen to or to understand, but the depth is subtle, and that's, and people will sort of appreciate it sort of later on. So it's a high energy show, and we just, you know, sort of play our socks off every night, mm-hmm. and I like to think that anybody that walks off the street, they don't know who we are, they don't know what the music is, but at the end of the night, you know, they've got a big smile on their face, and they love what we do.
And you love what you do too, and love to speak about your music and your gear and your guitars. And in the remaining moment that we have, Martin Barr, can you tell me what the audiences are like for you when you see the faces out there? What kind of people are enjoying this?
It's always been an amazing cross-section. Even Jethro Tull, we had really young audiences and really mature audiences. But because it's me, I'm out the front. You know, I'm talking to the audience and interactive with them. And, you know, I really, really enjoy that. It becomes so much more personable to what I do, one entity. I really love that thing about gigs where it's so intimate. And there's this great rapport between the audience and the musicians.
That's Martin Barr of the Jethro Tull Band, now of the Martin Barr Band, and the new album comes out later this year. Thanks for joining us. This is the Envision Radio Network.
American Weekend. Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
You're on a diet, but that donut in the break room is tempting you.
Just one word can make the difference between taking a bite or walking away.
In a recent study, two groups of participants faced a temptation. Group A was asked to tell themselves, "I can't do that."
Group B told themselves, "I don't do that." The group that said, "I don't," did a better job of sticking with their goals.
According to the researchers, "I can't" makes you think of limitations. You feel forced to do something you don't want to do.
"I don't" puts you in control over the situation. It empowers you to overcome a moment of weakness.
When it comes to self-talk, choose your words wisely to stay on track. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. What are the three most common complaints that parents have about their children? Straight to the answers. Number one, my child doesn't listen. Number two, my child doesn't follow directions. And number three, my child will not wait their turn. But there's more to these simple sounding issues. If these complaints are constant, then here's the developmental science of what these complaints really mean. So your child won't listen. Well, there could be memory problems involved. You say your child doesn't follow directions. They may have difficulty understanding and processing. And you say your child won't take turns. Could be impulsivity. What's the cheap psych trick? These three problems, they're very natural, but if you or the teacher notices one or more of these problems constantly in excess, professional help may be in order. You can check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.